Welcome, everybody, to Around the Battleground. My name is LHS, and I am your host. Joining me is Mr. Culture Gibson. How you doing, bud?
Doing fantastic. That's all I have to say. I'm doing fantastic.
Right. I didn't mean glad you can make it today. Sorry. You know, it was good to see your lovely face. Missed you last time out, right? No, were you here last? No, last time it was just me.
No.
And we did the interview, so you missed out on that. But it was for a good reason. Everybody, I'm sure, was wondering where you were. You were doing some... can we say what you were doing, actually? Like, why you missed the show?
I think I'm still NDA'd on it, so...
Okay, all right. So, no, he was doing some other stuff. That's all we'll say. But, you know, definitely good things. This show is largely just going to be about mid-season invitational. We finally got here. Our big event for the middle of the year, phase one, has concluded, and we've got a bunch of teams here on land. It's weird to say on land because this whole season, you know, for the SPL has been on land, so to differentiate that. But you know, we have the SML Cup teams and then the console teams. Today was day two. So we've seen 2 days of competition. We'll break down both days here. There's a lot to talk about, a lot of good storylines. And, you know, you're more, I don't know, you used to be before you came here more of a Paladins guy, right? Because, I mean, I guess now that you, because you work the Paladins more than you do the.
I'll just say not by choice.
Not by choice.
Not by choice.
All right.
That's all I'll say.
But for those of you who don't know, Paladins did their MSI last week, right?
Yeah.
And basically same format. And the team that won it all was a minor league team. And it upset. Who did they beat in the finals? So it was like a big Penta, team, right?
They beat Ninjas in Pajamas, yeah.
They beat Ninjas in Pajamas. So like those aren't Ninjas like the defending world champs or something? No, it was Envy. That
no, Envy is, but Ninjas is. They were unbeaten almost all year, like until like the last day where they kind of trolled and lost. And they are the favorite probably to win, but it was honestly surreal because first of all, I'm in Bonkar, the front line for Nip's booth, and when he loses, he gets mad. I thought he was about to break me. At the end of that set, like,
yeah,
I dipped as fast as I could to the other booth because I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know how I was going to react. He's like a Swedish Hulk. I think he's Swedish. Yeah,
Swedish Hulk.
So
is that I yeah. See? I've never seen Bonkar ever really. So like, I imagine some little mousy kid because that's like when I first saw him was. Like season one for Paladins, when he was like subbing for Burrito at like way back here now. And man, that's what I remember. And he was playing Shaolin, the dude with the bow.
Shaolin, you're right.
Yeah. So, you know, look, I don't play the Paladins. I watch it occasionally and I know a little bit, but so anyway, point of that is, you know, this competition had. An SML team win, and you know that's a possibility for the Smite as well. You know, looking at the NA side of things, Armada has, you know, the pro players, so it was definitely one of the things we were looking at. You know, we discussed it before, and you know, it was always something in the back of our minds. You know, and not to get too ahead of ourselves because we do still have to talk about, you know, the first day, but you know, we got some really interesting games from our first day. Was there anything that stood out to you in particular? Like before the day started, was there any game that you were looking at more closely than other? Like, yeah, I can't wait to see that.
I was definitely looking at the Hype Unit Flashpoint game because I know you kind of hyped me up last time I was on the show about Hype Unit and how, you know, Embone and Boronic, how these guys are staples in pro play and, you know, of all teams, they could really do it. I was watching that match. I always watch the Sanguine matches because I'm a big Sanguine fan. Vamos Sanguine. And, I mean, who wasn't watching the Armada match? Because it's Armada. Like, you watch their games. That's just how you learn how to play Smite at the highest level. So, yeah.
Yeah, it was really interesting. You know, unfortunately, going into the LAN, both Sanguine and Flashpoint had issues with their team. Flashpoint was not able to play with their mid laner, and so they swapped Sibby into that mid role and had, I believe it was their coach or somebody. They had somebody stand in for solo lane. And so you never had 100% like that. And Sanguine also, I know they had their solo lane, Jarcor, wasn't able to play. So they replaced him with the coach. And going into that, you know, that it definitely impacts everything because you're never going to be as good. But there's always the hope, you know, you always have the coaches who come in and really kill it. Like Mr. Kassir from last season comes to mind. But I'm trying to like find the bracket from, you know, this past competition, but I can't find it. I'm scrolling as fast as I can. Okay, here we go. Got it. All right, so our first game of MSI was, nope, that's from today. That's the finals bracket. Jesus, I'm a big dumb. I thought I had it. I'm sorry, guys. The first game, I believe, was Hype Unit and...
Hype Unit and Flashpoint.
Hype Unit and Flashpoint. That was the first game, right? Yeah, Hype Unit Flashpoint was the first game. And if I'm being honest, that game didn't look as clean from Hype Unit as I anticipated it would be. Even with, you know, Flashpoint playing a man down with a role swap, they didn't win convincingly. They win 2-1, but they don't put Flashpoint away cleanly. And Flashpoint kind of had a couple moments in this set where they could have took it over. And I don't know, that doesn't say a lot for Hype Unit for what this team should have been. I don't know. Did you see the same thing, or am I just being hypercritical here?
I did. I especially saw it from Griff. It just seemed like he was, and it's hard for a team that's as good as we lob them to be to point out one person as like the weak link. Because it's like, yeah, every team has a weaker player out of the four, but he just seemed to not have a very good, not just series for that, but just a tournament. It seemed even in the game that they played where they eventually got knocked out, and we'll get to that later on the road, he just was underperforming. I think Chota, I don't think people expected him to play nearly as well in the solo lane. Maybe that's just me not having seen him play before, but I didn't expect him to play as well. I think he held up better than I expected. Not to say that he held up too well against Wolves, but you know, it was still better. But like you said, when you're playing a man down, you don't have, I think it was Faircrick that they were missing. One of the biggest parts of your team, when he's gone, it's hard to imagine Flashpoint stands up in this matchup. But it was definitely worrying signs for Highpoint going down the rest of the tournament.
Yeah, kudos on Flashpoint. They really almost pulled this through, and it really, to me, showed the difference in the skill levels and everything like that. Hype Unit was good, but still there is that step to be taken even in to the minor league, right? I think one of the big things to come out of this was Hype Unit, everybody on the team, they are a console team, but all of them were playing mouse and keyboard. So there's a... I don't think we'll break that down here. There's too much to dissect and unpack with that. We want to focus on the games themselves. But them being on mouse and keyboard, they can do more, but they're not as comfortable. And that's not where they learned the game. That's not what they've been practicing inside and out, how they've played together. You know, obviously, scrimming for the last few months, they, you know, get better and then develop a certain level of skill on it. But that's not their home, right? So there is definitely room for improvement from Hype Unit. And then the level of competition on Xbox has been growing, but it's not quite there. And I think that was really on display with Flashpoint, who's been around playing, you know, SPL talent in EU, SML talent in EU, and has been around for a long time. The level of competition they've been exposed to is a lot greater than Hype Unit. And that allowed them to, even with their sub and a role swap, to almost pull this through. And I almost think that, you know, with the way that things are going for the console league, they're kind of phasing it out, but that things need to be like the console league needs to be added into the SML. So expand the SML by two slots, add in hype unit, add in, I mean, whoever came in second, I can't even remember at this point, you know, and then on the other side with Rival, you know, just get those guys into the EU SML and NASML and see what happens. And I think that would be infinitely more practice and skill. And there's a lot of good things from these guys, and I want to see them improve, but I just don't know that they'll get it in the current landscape. This is a team full of world champions, but like the asterisk is that they're world champions on console. And so I expect a lot from them, and them struggling so much against Flashpoint was really like, okay, but you know, there's, what do you guys, what's next for you guys? Like, I feel like this is them. They've plateaued unless something changes, and them beating Flashpoint here gets them more competition. Sure. And we do see them. Their next game was up against Armada, and they do look better. You know, they created a meta that is now at this land with, you know, Lairs bringing out the Guan Yu jungle. I think that this team has a lot of potential, and I want to see these guys come over to PC. I mean, the easiest comparison is a lot of people were saying that, you know, Lairs reminded them of, you know, Sino when he first was playing. And so, I mean, that's really good company to be in as far as like a jungle goes, you know. And I just I just talked a lot at you.
I was like, yeah, I completely agree with that. No, but it is it's crazy because on Twitter I saw some, I can't remember who it was, but I saw someone talking about a Guan Yu build anyways. It wasn't for jungles, for solo, but already has very, very good base damages. And it was pretty much Talaria boots, like you saw Layers go, with some damage. And not only do you have the base damage, but the speed you get from being on horseback means you can chase down just about anybody. So it was something that started to crop up a little bit, and he finally kind of reared its ugly head in that series. It's interesting that you say that about the structuring of the leagues, because it happened over on the Paladin side too, where, and I wasn't paying attention to the chat, I was working, but I can only imagine how people were like, oh, they're using keyboard and mouse versus controller, why are they even blah blah blah. And it's these teams scream like this for months. I believe the top PCL team said that they were like, hey, once we locked in our spot, we started playing keyboard and mouse, like we immediately swapped over. So, and you saw the one team that was full controller, Nemesis, got obliterated in the Paladins MSI. Like, they faced, it was unfair anyways, but they just got, I think they played Penta, and they just got steamrolled. So, it is going to be interesting to see how they work around it. I know they want to integrate crossplay and make that a whole thing, but it doesn't seem to be taking the effect. Regardless, for this tournament here, I think the SCL teams, for the most part, had a pretty good showing that many people that weren't following the scene probably didn't expect them to play as well as they did, and even get as close as they did get to moving on to our finals bracket.
Yeah, I think going into this, you know, there's been that, you know, little console thing going back and forth. Like, console definitely has like the little brother syndrome going on, and a lot of people are sensitive to that. But I think at a high level, that's not quite the same thinking or thought process anymore. There is skill that goes into being a pro on Xbox. There are, you know, winning the world championship isn't just like a guaranteed thing that just happens, right? Like, there's more respect between PC and Xbox now. I mean, PS4 just started, so it's not quite there. It's in the same way. It's more a meme. But even then, like, you know, people are willing, like, hey, let's just give it a shot. And so, you know, I think this is going to do wonders for the scene moving forward, just because it's going to expose people to, like these console players, like, oh, they aren't just bots who can do nothing, right? Like they are actually good at Smite game. And they're not just like the people in my casual games, like inting constantly. So I mean, I'm excited to see what kind of happens, but you know, I was less thrilled with Hype Unit. I thought Hype Unit was going to be stronger. If I'm being completely honest, I was really disappointed by their first set against Flashpoint and really thought that they would be a better team and could do more. It's one of those things where, you know, you have, like I said, you have a group of world champions. You should be able to beat a team of subs, right? You've been practicing with mouse and keyboard. Not a team of subs, but a team with subs. I don't know. It's they kind of redeemed themselves against Armada, but I don't know. Not completely, right? Like the damage had been done.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Moving on, Out Cold Armada. The biggest thing right here, Armada beasted crap out of Out Cold. I mean, nobody really saw that going any differently. However, what I do take exception with is Armada trolling and picking Thor solo and other things, the jank stuff, basically as just a big F you and the disrespect towards Out Cold. I feel like that's one of the biggest things that's wrong with Smite as a community right now, with the pro community largely. We're all pros here. Like, regardless of what system we're on and everything like that, like, everybody is here because they can play the game really well. And so the fact that you're just going to do them dirty like that, like, just come in, do your job, and go leave. You're not of any threat of losing to these guys. So at least give them the courtesy to play against real picks so that when they go home, they have something to go back and watch. So now their entire experience at LAN is worthless to them because they didn't play against real picks. They didn't play against anything that's actually worthwhile. And that kind of infuriates me. And that's why, like, now that team and that region is further behind than what they should be because they lacked, like, quality LAN experience. And I, when I watched it, I was, like, really angry with it. Like, I was not a fan. Am I overreacting here, Culture?
I feel like there's two sides of this story. A is just the experience. If you watched Armada toward the back of their SML schedule before MSI, they did a lot of this. You know, it wasn't new. You had Solo or Troll playing Thor solo. I mean, they basically were like, these games don't matter. So it's one of those things where it's already part of Armada's character. I think now that it was on a bigger stage, people were more outraged about it. I mean, you saw Meerkat. I think it was Meerkat go on Twitter and apologize. People are more outraged because it's on a bigger platform. You know, Nozmi, people were watching SML as they are MSI. Also, I have to agree with you, though. Even though it's not their character, it still doesn't mean that they can do it. I mean, other people might say the excuse is, oh, look at the LCS teams when it doesn't matter anymore in tournament stuff. They troll all the time. It's like, well, these guys get practice continually against the top level of competitive play all the time. There is no scrapping for scrims. There is no, oh, I'll never play these SPL or SML teams again. Unless it's on an international level, you know I'll see these guys again down the road. Or at least the competition I'm playing back in my region is good enough so that I can get quality practice. When you're right, a team like Out Cold, they might feel like, hey, the competition in our region isn't good enough to get practice, but we're against the best SML team in the world, probably good enough to be an SPL team. This is good quality practice. We can get to see where our shortcomings are. And you get Solo Troll playing Thor, you know, solo. Everyone's trolling. You're like, well, got to throw these out the window. This is no good. So while I think it should have been expected from people that Armada would do something like this, because they've done it all season when a game doesn't matter, they'll just troll because they know they're going to win. I still think it's unacceptable on this big of a stage when you have this big of a crowd in MSI, you know, it's not cool.
Right. It's not cool. Treat others with respect. And I think that's a big issue that needs to be tackled. Right. And it's not just in Smite esports. It's like esports as a whole. You know, you hate to see it, but it's like the worst part of the games, like hands down, when these type of things happens. Other than that, you know, that was really the biggest thing of note. I mean, Armada do cleanly walk away with this, and there's like no real danger of them losing. But you know, have some class. Next up, we had Sanguine playing with their coach, and doing a lot better than I anticipated. I kind of wrote them off, and I was honestly, this is another set from the console guys, I was expecting a lot more. Unlike Hype, you know, Rival did have two people playing with controller, and I think that kind of messed them up a little bit. You know, they had, I think they had their ADC and their mid, not the two guys you really want on a controller at this high of a level. And I think, you know, they did fine, but at the same time, it was like, you know, they kind of left their ADC out to dry. He kept he kept getting focused, and they just got put him under, and he couldn't do anything. Sanguine here looked really strong. Their coach did admirably as a solo replacement, and I mean, he could do as good as you could possibly want him to do. And I think, you know, Yarkor, when he comes back, might not have the soul lane spot anymore. He might be the coach going into the next season.
Let's all calm down. Let's settle it. You know, Oxy, he did a fantastic job filling in. You know, they didn't ask him to do too much. He did exactly what, you know, his purpose was when he picked. I believe he was just playing picks like the RDO, stuff like that, just pretty much tank solo laners that could support the team. This was a series where Sanguine just got to do everything that they've ever wanted to do all season. You know, they're invading the blue buff consistently. There are some games where they did leave Oxy alone. Was like, hey, we're just going to let you – you're going to lose your blue, but it's okay, because that meant that Pantone had time to go focus the mid lane, to go focus the dual lane, to go invade. And it was classic Sanguine, but with more focus on, I think, just jungle invades and pressure, and then more focus on giving Shinto a lead. And you're right about Rival. It was weird because I heard about one of the teams from the SCL actually not switching over to keyboard and mouse, and one of their players was going, or multiple were going, to keep control. And I remember asking which one. They're like, oh, like some dude playing the hunter role. Little did we know we were talking about Davey. And I'm like, this is the worst role for you to keep a controller on. This is the role where you got to be able to snap between targets as fast as possible. You cannot miss a single beat when it comes to positioning and using abilities to get in and out of danger. Maybe if it was a solo laner, sure, you can use a controller. It's not that big of a deal. Support, okay, but not from your hunter, because he just got outclassed by Netroid. Honestly,
Netroid popped off.
Looking at his stats, 12 KDA. Like, he destroyed this man's livelihood. Like, Davey's leaving feeling lesser.
Yeah, Netroid probably had the best showing of this, like, the year. Like, it really was crazy to watch him and what he was able to do, and the abuse that they were able to levy against this Rival squad. I don't know. I expected a lot more from Rival, and they just couldn't deliver. It was, I don't know. I keep saying that. That's my only focus point, is like Rival looked like they were outclassed by SML. And that's not the team that I'd seen previously. But I, you know, I don't know whether that was nerves or Sanguine. I mean, their ping is also an issue, right? Going from South America playing against North America, like United States teams, and then now going up against the same people on a land environment. I mean, that can make all the difference. So I don't know. Maybe we were just not rating Sanguine high enough, or maybe Rival just was like, you know, of not great.
We,
like it's hard. It's hard to.
We,
yeah, we.
Tell me, we. Yeah, I had Sanguine as one of my teams to beat. Vamos Sanguine.
I had Sanguine as like the one of the teams that I saw going through this as well. But you know, after the sub, you know, that's when I, you know, questioned whether or not they're actually going to be able to do it. And you know, Oxy stepped in admirably. I still wanted to see. I said that I Rival will give up a good fight, but ultimately I do think it'd be Sanguine. But then Sanguine had a sub, so I was like, maybe Rival can, you know, pull this out. There'll be good experience for him. And then they let me down. So you know, we'll see. What they do from here. Yeah. the last game of the first day, Nemesis versus Simplicity. Nemesis was the team from NA. They're all box kids who left the box scene to get a free ride to MSI. They go up against Simplicity and get absolutely dad dick styled on both games. And just like, it makes you laugh and you wonder, like, all right, well, was the, you know, it makes, I don't know. I know I just said we can't be toxic and we have to have respect to people, but like what Nemesis did to get like where they were, that like free ride, man, I'm like, you kind of had this coming, right? Like to jump ship to a new scene so that you're better than everyone else. I mean, you know, you're taking advantage of the rules and everything, but like, come on, man, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing, man? Simplicity look real good here and, you know, very cleanly get this 2-0.
Yeah. It was a show by Simplicity on how to make sure that kids from a lesser scene do not one-up you. They did exactly what they needed to do.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I'd heard of Macquarie. I'd watched Jumpa at last year's Expo playing in the championship, and I was like, hey man, maybe these kids can give them a run, you know, they're not that bad based on their rep. But good grief, I mean, I don't think anyone on their team had, there's one person that had above a 1 KDA, and that was their hunter Zaxi. He was it. Everybody else was like 0.3, 0.5, 0.75, 0.14. Yeah.
They got it like donut in one game, didn't they? Like where they didn't get a kill.
I think so. Yeah, it was
like that's sad. Hard to do in a competitive game.
Oh like, that my is god!
Unreal. So
Simplicity did not come to play.
Simplicity did not come to play, and they didn't troll, right? Like that's I think a big thing.
Yeah,
but you know the respect part of there is I like that. All right, our second day of games, Hype Unit Armada. Hype Unit looked completely different in this set. They looked comfortable. They looked like they settled down. They had the time at LAN and they just adjusted. They looked like they could take a game off Armada. And in all honesty, Hype Unit should have won this set. They made some really dumb decisions at crucial times to lose two of the games, and really Hype Unit should have walked away with the dub in this set. The Layers carried this team. They had standout performances from him. Baronic played very well. Everybody on the squad looked good. If anybody, I was talking shit about Hype Unit before this point, you know, it ceased at that moment. This is a squad that has a lot of potential, and they want to see this squad more regularly. Bring these guys into the SML. Let them play against Armada every week. You know, against Cryptic, against, you know, Huevos and Fuego. Because we just qualified from the Combine into the SML. You know, let them get the better competition outside of console, right? Armada win this, and they bring out some interesting stuff. But, you know, as much as they won it, I feel like Hype Unit just lost it. What was your take on this game?
Oh my god. When I was watching this series, I was like, man, if Griff had just had a better tournament, then I think despite some of the mistakes, I think there are times when Griff got his positioning was poor in fights, got caught out, and just kind of let his team down. But everyone has bad series, so it happens to the best. But you're right. It felt like between this and even the next series, it felt like a lot of the teams that didn't get to go to the next one in both these semifinals matches, it was based on poor decisions they made in shot calling that ruined them, that completely ruined them, which just shows a level of maturity that they get to get to the next level. You know, sometimes it's not about individual skill and mechanics anymore. It's just about, can you make those high level shot calls in pressure situations almost all the time, you know, or at least minimize the damage from missing a call. And that's just the next level that Hypeunit has to get to. And I think that come Hires Expo 2019 in November, they're going to be pretty scared. I mean, they're going to go back and dominate the console scene anyways. I think that's a given, but they're just one small step away. It was just them and Sanguine had me tearing my hair out both these semifinals, because it was just itty-bitty stuff, man. Itty-bitty right. stuff.
So you hit on that. Sanguine lose the simplicity. However, again, Sanguine should have won this set. Dumb decisions at clutch critical moments. It loses in this set. We should have had a Hypeunit Sanguine finals for the play-in bracket. That's how this should have ended. But we don't get that reality. I think that really shows the growth of the entire Smite scene, that a console team and a LATAM team could have, should have been our finalists in the play-in bracket. Oxy looked really good. He didn't look like a detriment to his team. Sanguine just made really bonehead, aggressive calls in a couple of spots that led them to lose players and lose objectives. Simplicity maybe underestimated Sanguine. I'm not sure. But Sanguine definitely felt as if they should have won this game. I rate Sanguine very highly now. I look at them in a more in a better light. I think this is a team that's got, you know, when they first entered the scene, I thought they had a lot of potential. You know, they had beaten Baskins, whatever, Baskins Friendos in the community tournament. And it was okay, these guys can play. And then, you know, SML, they kind of cooled off a little bit. Yeah, they beat Armada, but Armada was like trolling that week and they didn't have a player. You know, there was a lot, there's a lot of things that, you know, contributed to Sanguine. They didn't ever look as dominant as they their potential. Now I feel like they've grown a lot and they look like they can be that team.
Yeah, when you look at them statistically this series, they overall were better than Simplicity. Shinto was head above heels better than Death Panther that day. Pantone was keeping up with Fails in the jungle. Rongyu, when he didn't get the horse, he was solid. When he got the horse, he looked unstoppable. And Netroid had Streak Up's number. It was just, it comes down to two moments. One of them cost them a game. The other one pretty much summed up the nature of how they lost. It was, I think, game one that they pushed for Titan and got wiped. And it was like, you didn't have minions. It was too early in the game. Why make that shot call? It's too aggressive. You only had three people up. And so they end up losing off of that because it allows Simplicity to come back in it. I think Simplicity takes a fire giant and they end up pushing for the win. Game two, same thing happens, but this time it's just Simplicity so far behind that they cannot catch up to Sanguine. But it just small moments like that. I think game three, it was they went for a risky fire giant instead of just pushing up mid and then going for the fire giant. Just being too anxious, knowing you have victory in hand, mm-hmm. and therefore not hitting the checklist you need to secure said victory. You know, oh, I'm going to skip this step because I think we're close enough to get to the finish line. When in games against teams like Simplicity and Armada, you cannot skip steps. You have to do every single thing by the book. And Sanguine, being the aggressive team they are, they didn't just skip one step. They decided to try and skip three at certain points, and it cost them the series. You know, I am still proud of the boys, though, for getting as deep as they were and for almost getting to that next stage, because there's no reason why, again, just like Hypeunit, they can't re-up, run through their SML schedule, get through playoffs, and get to the expo and prove themselves again and fix those issues.
Yeah, they just, it really looked like a lack of experience, lack of being there was one of the issues for a Sanguine in this day. I don't know. It's hard to say where it goes wrong, but I think they you know, they definitely look strong, and they're going to get stronger because of this. You know, you can't replicate the experience of being on land in that environment and in a tournament setting, and what, you know, you kind of gain from these moments. So we see them come back into the SML and, you know, maybe take on Armada for that top spot. And, you know, there's a lot of growth here that we can see. So moving on to the last day of the play-in bracket, we already know who qualify. We've got Armada and Simplicity qualifying going into this last bracket. Wait, too early for that, Mr. Producer Man. We're almost there.
He's trying to tell us something. You guys need
to... Yeah, he's trying to tell us to move it along. You know, we have Armada and Simplicity playing for position to see who plays who. First place plays Dig, second place plays Rival. Is that how that worked, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So Simplicity come out and absolutely shellack Armada. It felt like Armada was very much outclassed by Simplicity in this. And, you know, they never really were able to get a whole lot going. Meerkat, game number one, goes 2-10. You can't be doing that. You know, Meerkat looked very out of place. I think that was his worst showing in competitive play since he's been back. You know, he looked like the Canadian kids he was camping and farming, you know, at Worlds last year. That he looked like the Canadians. You know, Meerkat was Canadian all along, turns out. And, you know, being so focused in the mid lane, they're allowed, you know, Simplicity to do a lot, get whatever they wanted, really bully him. And then game number two, Mats goes 0-6. You know, they couldn't find a rhythm. Solo or Troll on Thor solo again goes 2-5. Simplicity was just ready for them and better on the day and was able to just come out and be like, no, sit down. We're not dealing with your BS. EU better than NA.
Yeah, it felt like a day where, you know, Armada had done enough research, almost. One of those situations where, like, okay, we did enough to understand the teams that we probably will face up to this point on our side of the bracket to get to the finals. And then at this point, it's like, oh, we don't have any research on these guys. We made it in. It's determining seeding. But that's honestly the only thing you're worried about. So I don't want to say that Armada completely took their foot off the gas, but it definitely felt a bit more relaxed, because at this point, I think all you're playing for is some extra money, but you're not, your whole tournament is not over with. That being said, I mean, Simplicity made them look bad. I mean, they look the worst that they have looked, like you said, all season. I mean, not just Mast and Meerkat. Snoopy didn't have the greatest series. I mean, it was across the board for Armada, but oddly enough, it worked out for them. I'm not even about to pose the staged age-old question for a podcaster. Did they do this on purpose to get this better seed against Rival? Because
no.
Rival or didn't pass, it's hard.
Yeah, like, nobody wants to go into Rival. Rival's been the most complete team. Everybody looks at Rival and goes, hell no. Give me Dig all day. Dig can't play early game. I could fight them, right? Like, that's the thought process everybody has. So, you know, whatever it was, nerves, just had their number, the bad matchups, whatever happened, Simplicity came out there and basically said, you thought, to Armada and just smacked them. Like, that, there's no other way to really say it. So, you know, the play in bracket is set. You know, Simplicity win it all as number one and Armada number two. So we have Dig versus Armada. No, we have Rival versus Armada and Dig versus Simplicity. So we start off our day number two with Rival Armada, and they get 2-0'd. We get Splice playing United. They 2-0 United. We have Dignitas playing Simplicity. They 2-0 Simplicity. And then we have Renegades and Knights and Renegades 2-0 Knights. We had a day full of 2-0s. Who would have thought 2-0s? I certainly did not expect that. Armada Rival, they came out and played a ranked game. They really just said, we can't play for reals. We can't play competitive Smite. We can play ranked Smite. We're all really good at ranked Smite, though. Let's just play ranked. And they came out and they pressed W at Rival. And Rival's like, hey, hey. What are you doing over there? What are you doing? We don't do that here. We don't press W. Why am I dying? Hey, how are you getting those kills? Hey, stop it. Stop it. Don't do that. And Armada is just killing them on cooldown, doing whatever the hell they want. And Rival lose. Rival gets 2-0'd. The team on the 8-game winning streak. The only loss was the start of the season. They lost once to Dig. They lose to Armada, who was playing a ranked game. I can't. This blows my mind.
It's a genius strategy, because when you look at Rival, it's a team where their preparation is always on point. It's basically their team that rivals Dig in preparation, but they also just have Arco, who is arguably the best hunter AD carry in the world. Pandacat, one of the best transitions to mid that we've seen in a long time. And then Final K, not to mention that guy. I mean, they are just this dominant team, but you fight order with chaos. And Armada just did that. I mean, what's the best part of a ranked game? It's just the chaos of a ranked game. And in that chaos, like that, they found their bread and butter, and they wrecked Rival. Like, everyone was at speeches, because, I mean, everyone thought, okay, maybe Armada could beat them in like a 2-1 maybe, but you didn't think it'd be a 2-0 just slobber knock. Just Rival left stunned. Everybody left stunned. I was stunned. I couldn't really dissect what happened and how it happened because of how ridiculous the notion was and how chaotic the entire series was. It was too much, overwhelming.
Yeah. I mean, what can we say about this? Shock. Not even just mild shock. Like, this is, oh, damn. After Armada gets smacked by Simplicity, they come out in 2-0 and just show Rival who their daddy is? All I know is that Armada's about to make a bunch of money before the phase two starts selling their players to the SPL. That's what I know. Like, if there was any case of why these players should be in the SPL, it was right there. It was made today with Armada beating Rival. Next up, Splice United. Not really a whole lot to talk about with Splice United. Splice come out and win in like sub 30 minutes, both games. Game number one, it was like 20-0, 15-2, close enough. You know, Baskin on Vamana is doing whatever the hell he wants. Cyclone on the Morgan doing whatever he wants. And just, I want to take a second and just these team comps. I'm really enjoying them. I'm really enjoying people playing, you know, the shift in Smite away from, oh, that's duo lane. Oh, that's, you know, your hunter over there, your guardian, right? It's the long lane. That's where your carry goes. You know, there's so much more depth to the game now, and it's just a lot more enjoyable when you can see Morgan ADC and Jeanqui ADC. Like, I am loving this. This is like my favorite time of Smite ever. Splice looking really clean. Baskin continuing to be, you know, such a turnaround player for the squad, and I really worry about what the squad's going to do without him. You know, you're suckling at the teat of Baskin, and he's delivering you sweet, nutritious wins, and then you're going to get that yanked away from you. Then what? Who do you replace Baskin with? No, there's nobody who's as mechanically gifted as Baskin is. So when you replace him, you're not going to be able to do the only one. Solo or Troll has shown that he is a top tier solo laner. Maybe they bring him back, But last week, talking to Kabam, he didn't want Mando. He didn't want Solotro. He doesn't think they're good enough. He wants to take somebody else. So who do you get? I'm really worried about what Spice does after this tournament. I think they could win this tournament if they get through Armada. Armada could come out there and smack them down too, playing ranked. Actually, no. If Armada tries to play a ranked game against Splice, I think they lose in like 15 minutes. Because Splice is not... you want to play ranked? Yeah, so do we. We want to play ranked. Like, that is not a fight you're going to be winning right there. Splice could play anything. Armada's in trouble. But, you know, Splice looking like they could walk away with it. What did you think from this set?
I felt it was textbook Splice plus Baskin. I mean, Baskin just applied so much pressure with the solo lane, which just allowed Splice to do whatever they wanted, which usually involves some form of, you know, picks that are unorthodox but still work, and also objective control and knowing how to fight around objectives. And I just feel like they picked E-United apart. And you're right, if I'm Splice, I close down whatever wing of my esports, whatever esports division I need to get the money to keep him long term.
But he doesn't want to stay. He wants to go back to college. You can't. You can't buy him.
If I throw $1 million at him, I can buy him. Shut down my entire Gears of War. You guys suck anyways. Shut down that entire.
You're taking wing. Your entire get salary out, and giving it to Baskin.
$500,000 Baskin, deliver me, please. Because that's just going to be missed. And I feel like while the shot calling and overall macro strategy team will be the same, just that presence you have on the map will not be the same. That level of play will not be the same. We have someone in the solo lane that can play whatever he wants, be good at just about everything that's good right now, can't be shut down in pick and ban, and need to send multiple members just to deal with him in solo lane, or else he's going to crush your solo laner by two levels. You don't replace that kind of pressure on your team. It's irreplaceable.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack with Splice going forward, and I can't wait to see the chaos that happens, because it sounds like we're going to get a lot of movement going into the second phase. But Splice just came out, outclassed United, put their heads down, got to work, and, you know, put down United. Like, no. Yeah, we know you beat Dig. You're not beating us. Calm down, Junior. Then we get Dignitas and Simplicity. Dignitas 2-0 Simplicity. After Simplicity looked so good, after all the talk we had that rivals the team you don't want to run into, Dignitas maybe you can beat. Dignitas look at Simplicity. They look back at the camera. They look back at Simplicity. And Simplicity's dead. Nobody knows how it happened. You're gone. Dignitas came out with a game plan and really executed it very well. You know, game number one goes to 31 minutes, is pretty long. But then game number two only goes to 27. You know, Cuvo Fred, you know, looking amazing as always. Nate surviving what he probably shouldn't have. I mean, there's just, they worked as such a cohesive unit. Genetics was doing his best Aurora impersonation, but he ended up looking like Kiki, so cheeky. You know, it just didn't work out for him. And, you know, even Maniac looked really outclassed. 2-5-2 on the Yorm the first game, 1-5-4 on Ama the second game. Just not looking good after being one of the reasons why Simplicity won over Armada. Comes in today and just isn't able to match up against Variety. You know, do you think that having, you know, the SML level of competition as opposed to the SPL has like affected his ability to play at that high level a little bit against like the top team?
I just don't think he got enough help. I mean, we've known all season what Variety's capable of, especially when you give him auto-attacking, skirmishing solo laners, and they just didn't give Maniac enough help in the solo lane to allow him to stand up to Variety. I think that was kind of the breaking point for Simplicity in this set, was that Variety was just too far gone. He ended the entire set with like an 8.25 KDA. Yeah, he was all Dignitas needed. Now, you're right, Ataraxia, surviving when he shouldn't have. That's been his MO all season, especially when he goes for the types of carries that he plays. But really, that was kind of the crux of things. It felt like across the board, Simplicity, no, they weren't as good, but they were good enough to hang with and make a good set. But the one point that you needed to give a little bit of extra help to, that you needed that solo guardian duo synergy to put down somebody like Variety, just wasn't there. It just wasn't enough, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they put Variety on King Arthur, and you know, oh, King Arthur's, you know, in the ground now. He's not good. And then Variety's like chuckling in the corner and just like, finally, I can play him, and just wipe the floor with everybody, showing that, yeah, still good god. Still not just a weak god. And you know, there's some stuff to be broken down, but I think what really just came down to is just as a cohesive unit, Dignitas came out to play, came with a game plan, and just executed it. Did not give Simplicity any room to breathe. Came out there, had their heads down, and did their job. And there, you can't say enough about just being able to do that. Last set of the day. Pittsburgh Knights versus Renegades. Pittsburgh Knights picking everything up. Renegades losing out to end the season, basically, you know, after their hot start and you know, not being able to really do much of anything. You know, is the spark lost? Is the magic gone? They come out 2-0, Pittsburgh Knights. Game number one goes 44 minutes back and forth, you know, not able to really close it out. Pittsburgh Knights came close. Had put the, you know, the pressure on them early. And then Renegades just, you know, they had one team fight. All it took was one team fight, get them back in the game, made them competitive. And then all of a sudden the lead that PK had wasn't really much of a lead anymore. And it let this late game comp really go to work and just be able to turn the tables onto PK. We don't see the last game, unfortunately. We know it goes to 25 minutes, but Renegades apparently just completely embarrassed PK. If you're PK, this is utter embarrassment. You get 2-0'd with the game number two being 25 minutes. It's not a good look. You know, before the MSI, you know, we were talking about it, which PK is going to show up. Is it the PK where everyone's on the same page, or is it the PK that's still dealing with its synergy problems? Is it the PK that's still, you know, is it the adapting who has lost all semblance of patience in the world? And PK just don't show up. They can't put it together. Honestly, I'm a little disappointed. You know, I'm not the biggest fan of PK, and let it be known, I do like me and Emilzy. I love Emilzy. I don't, Deathwalker's fine, Vote's fine. I have a tepid history with adapting in zeros, but you know, I don't hate the team. I think they're fine, but I am disappointed in their play. I want to see more from them. And if anything, this is just going to be worse for me because now I'm riding them even harder. I've been riding them hard all season about what they should be able to do. And you know, I keep talking to Emils and he's like, man, we can't do anything to please you. I'm like, no, you guys need to do more. I had a bet going on with Emilzy that if his team won, I would print out a tweet from our DMs, apologize for riding them so hard, throw all of my support to PK, and eat my tweet, eat my words saying that they were not a top tier team. I don't got to do that anymore. I was right. PK is not a top tier team. Sorry, not sorry. All right, Culture. Wow. What do you got on this?
Strong words. I want to let any and all PK fans and players know that I'm not attached to him, or pointing the wrong way. Him. He does not. We do not voice the same opinions. You know. You're all good with me, but watching game one, it felt like PK had everything together. It felt like they had the patience. They got nice little early lead, adapting on the Mercury, so easy early pressure jungler, can get in your face from near minute one after he hits, you know, level 2-3. But it felt like Renegade just had a composition that they knew as long as we hold on, the later this goes, the harder it is going to be for them to kill us. And that's kind of exactly what it got down to. I mean, besides that, in PK trying to bait around an Enchanted Fire Giant. And one of the things I remember when Enchanted Fire Giant first came out that still rings true is it, well, not after the Primal Fury came out, but now it's like, unless you have a Primal Fury or two, Enchanted Fire Giant is just, you know what, unless you have five men down, you just deicided and it's clear, you don't really take it. But they kept trying to bait in the face of Renegades being right there. And Renegades played it smart, wasn't taking it. And then it was picks like the Jean Cuisseau. And you talked about earlier how the way the meta shifted is getting more, things are getting more and more, I had the word in my head earlier, but basically more niche. That's probably not the right way to use that, but where you're seeing picks go everywhere, not just based on, oh, this is the dual lane, because it's dual lane. You know, you're seeing Jean Cui solo, and they just could not kill him, and eventually it came down to too much AoE damage and healing from Renegades beat PK, when in late game, PK really couldn't do anything else. Game two, didn't get to see how it ended, but, I mean, it just sounds like PK might have just tilted off that first game and might have been like, man, we should have had this game in the bag. What happened? And then from there, it just fell off a cliff.
I don't know. I wish we could see that second game and know where it all went wrong. But, you know, Renegade just came out and put him in the ground. Like, just came out, you know, won a really scrappy game and then came out in game two and just put their foot on PK's throat and never let up. I'm excited to see what Renegades do. I think this Renegade squad, I've said it since day one, I'm a big fan. I think they can win Worlds. This is a squad that if it worked, and if they had the synergy and the skill, they had the skill, if they had the synergy and they could figure out the meta and figure out what works for them, they could go very far. This is a very gifted team. And I'm really glad to see them doing well. I don't know. I'm excited. You know, we've got this has been a good MSI. We've had a lot of storylines going on. There's been some really frustrating moments, but all in all, just really good. And I hope we evolve from here and kind of get, you know, even better. Looking ahead, tomorrow we've got Armada and Splice and Dignitas and Renegades. You know, we've kind of talked a little bit already. Armada, Splice, I can't see that going any other way than Splice over Armada. I know Armada's done really well, but I think if they kind of try to come out and do the same thing they did today, I think Splice is going to be able to hang with them a lot better than Rival. But, you know, I would have said that Rival could have hung with them. I don't know. It's a really awkward situation, but I can't root against Splice in that scenario. And we'll start with that, trying to break down that prediction. What do you think, Culture? You got any, you know, gut instincts there?
Splice has Bask, and that's pretty much the depth of my analysis on this one. I know people are saying that, I think they're saying, is it Meerkat or Mask is supposed to be the Baskin Kryptonite, but I think that's just a meme. I don't think there's a Kryptonite to Baskin. Pretty much, I honestly think Baskin may just carry Splice to an MSI victory just based on how they've been playing and how they've been playing around him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really excited to see him versus Solo or Troll. As Solo Troll's been like the guy who's like, he could be the next Baskin. He can be the next solo laner. You know, he already beat Fine OK. He already beat the guy who a lot of us would say is the consensus number one solo laner. So, you know, who knows what he can do against Baskin. This will either be a good set or a quick set. I don't think it goes either any other way. You know, it's not going to be, you know, I don't know. It's hard to call. There's a lot of moving pieces with this. I think, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, I'm already beat Rival. They can beat Splice. But I look at Splice, I'm like, that's not a roster you can just press W at, because they're going to press W right back at you. this should be a good set. I don't think these games will end by 25 minutes. I think they'll go 30 plus, maybe 40, maybe 60 minutes. You know, but not even that, because they both want to play so aggressive. I don't know. Like, I legitimately can't say, except I think Spice will win this set. The second set of the day, we've got Dignitas and Renegade. This will also be interesting. Dignitas did lose to Renegades already. Can they come back from that, or does Renegades have their number? I am an Ataraxia stan, so I will forever and always root for my boy, and I will say that Dignitas beat Renegades, but Renegades makes it hard on them, and maybe we see a 3-2. I think that could go all five games, and I'd be happy with that.
I'm going to add some parody to this podcast. I'm going to say Renegades can take it, and I'm not just saying that just to spite you. I think that Renegades, it's going to be close, but I think it's going to come down to those moments where, remember the last time when Renegades beat Dig, it was just because their team fight synergy just seemed to be more on point, especially in the late game situations. And they're really good at almost being on like a more refined version of Sanguine, where they will bait you in to fights and engagements that you think you can win. And then you realize, oh, wait, Chario was over that wall. Oh, wait, Raffer and crew was over that wall. Hold on. Mm-hmm. I didn't, you know, stuff like that. They use vision very well to bait you in. I think it'll come down to some late game fights where Dignitas just overstepped, thinking that this is a great situation. All the conditions are met for us to take, say, a Fire Giant. And then before you know it, you have the entirety of Renegades on your heels because, wait, they were here the entire time. This is a trap. So it's going to come down to like those small moments in the game for me. But I do think Renegades do take this set.
I wouldn't be upset if Renegades do. I think they definitely have the ability. It really comes down to who can impose their game plan on the other, and what those game plans are. I don't know. Dignitas, we always kind of go down to, is Dignitas's biggest fault is that they place a lot of onus on their ability to out team fight you. Renegades can also team fight very well, and they will also be aggressive early, right? So they're going to do things to, you know, set themselves up to be really aggressive, but then also have fallback stuff once the game hits 40 minutes. They're not just going to be able to roll over. Dig has a, you know, tendency to start off a little slower and, you know, focus it for, you know, the late game. But the way that they played today, the way that they kind of just beat Simplicity down, I think Dig has kind of refound themselves. I think Dig win the set, and I think they go on. And, you know, a Splice and Dignitas final is what I'm looking at. I mean, do we agree it's going to be Splice on the other side in the bracket, right?
Yeah.
So whoever wins the set, so Splice Dig or Splice Renegades, I don't know. That the final should be really good at that point. It's hard to say, you know, because we don't have a consensus. You know, does your answer change between Splice Renegades or Splice Dignitas on who wins the whole MSI?
Nah, I still got Splice winning the whole thing. I just can't. Yeah. It's just, you can't bet against Baskin until you see Baskin lose. And by that time, your bet's already cashed. You just can't do it. If you're doing that, then
yeah. Do
you even watch SBO? Like, the dude's insane. And maybe if Dig or Renegades need a better draft and preparation, have better teamwork, and try and find a way. I don't think you can beat Splice at their own game, but just find a way to neutralize Baskin if that's even possible, or play around him. And, like, you know, maybe it's what Sanguine did with Oxy, and just be like, you know what, you're going to lose solo lane to Baskin. That's okay, but we're going to make sure that Baskin is his own bubble, and he cannot affect the rest of his teammates, and he cannot affect the rest of his teammates. That's probably the only way you beat him is those two options. And both of them are sucky options, but it's the only ones you got.
Yeah, for sure. It's rough. If there is a solo laner left in the competition to contain Baskin. I do think it's variety. I don't know that Nika, as well as he's played, is the guy who's going to contain Baskin and be able to go toe-to-toe with him. But variety is be like, all right, let's go. We're fighting today. And that's what Variety wants to do. He wants to like go out and, you know, bruise and brawl with you. And so, you know, if we look, if it's Dignitas, I could see them winning. If it's Renegades, I think, I don't know. You know, I think Funball into Cyclone is an interesting matchup because they both are aggressive guys. Raffer into Aurore, also interesting. I don't know. I really don't. Ven into Dardez. It gets real messy. Honestly, I think if it's Splice, Dig, I think across the board, you know, Dig could pull that off. Honestly, I think Dig or Renegades could beat Splice here in this situation because of their play in other parts of the map. I think Nika does enough with his rotating it and mitigating a loss that he can delay. And I think that's all he would need to do. Put him on Nike and just have him delay and, you know, play for that late game passive. Right. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see. I think at the end of the day, I think you have a really good point. Bet on Baskin until he loses. Splice is the world champions and they got an even better roster now than when they won Worlds, which is crazy to think about. So, you know, if we're making predictions, regardless of what comes at the bottom side of the bracket, I think I'm going to agree with you. I think Splice walk away with this MSI title. Regardless, we have really good games to look forward to for the rest of the tournament. Yep. I don't know. Which possible matchup are you looking forward to the most?
Semifinals. I got to have my eyes on... I think Renegades Dig, just because it's like the revenge tour story for Dig. It's like, hey, these are the guys that beat us. Like when we were considered the best team in the SPL, arguably, these are the guys that took us off of our throne. We got to hand it back to them. And then finals, I want to see like a Splice. I think Splice Renegades would be saucy just because of how flexible both teams can be and just how crazy they both can get with their drafts and trying to like 5D chess, you know, each other. But I think Splice Dig would still be exciting because it would be maybe a little bit slower play, but it would be refined play. It would be like, this is what high level Smite looks like. The highest of the high level Smite looks like is when Splice and Dig plays versus it's going to be a crazy chaotic clown fiesta against Renegades. There's going to be a lot of fireworks. Shit's going to pop off. It's going to be crazy. You know, like, I don't know. I kind of want to see the more refined play of Splice Dig just because, but I still have to say, I still think Renegade is going to win, but it doesn't mean it's the Smite that I want to watch right. For my finals.
So in chat, the Zuku has asked, has Renegades really excelled in a set without Hunter and Min? No, they have not excelled in any game where Dart is on a carry. But I think that's fine. As long as you put Dardez on a carry, there's plenty of carries in the game. He's played the on her. He's played, you know, Kronos. He's played a lot of them. Put him on any of them, and he will do fine. Renegades can win if they put Dardez on a carry. If they put him on a mage, I think they lose. Yeah. Plain and simple. That's Renegades' win condition right now is Dardez on a carry.
And I mean, I think if people are like, oh, well, then you might lack magical damage. I mean, Funball has shown he can play magical 80 carries just fine. Kronos, Soul, like, you can easily, they basically flip-flop positions, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just that it gives Dardez a lot more space to work with, play more aggressive. You can, it's a little bit safer, I want to say, than dual lane just because of the length of the lane. So just the same principle with AMC mid. I don't have to overextend myself and put myself in harm's way to get farm. I could sit here, take side harpies, take waves, and be fine and just scale up. Fun baller can play magical ADC that has good escape, like the Kronos, and it's really, really easy. So, yeah, no. I think that's – I agree with it. It's fine that he only plays Hunter mids. Because they work around it very, very well.
Yeah, absolutely. This will be a battle of some different metas, which is always fun to watch. I'm expecting, you know, looking at who we've got left on the board, is anybody else going to bring the Gwan jungle out? Is that going to be a contested pick or ban? Like, what's the evolution of picks? Are we going to see another set ADC? Or is that dead? I'm really excited to see what happens with the rest of these games. And I'm really excited. I've been really happy with the quality of games we've had thus far. You know, except for a couple, you know, they've all been pretty competitive. And that's always a good thing. You know, we worried about that when we got here. Is it just going to be a steamroll? And no, the script had some interesting points thrown in along the way. I think that's really it for us today. You know, we have talked really about everything. You know, next time out, we'll have the results of MSI to talk about. Maybe some roster moves, depending. Hopefully an interview or so as well. You know, trying to get those out as much as possible. And with the MSI break, hopefully you guys will have some time. Next show will be next Wednesday, so we will have the end of MSI to talk about. We will have the Splice Invitational to talk about, which blows. I hate everything about the Splice Invitational. It's so shitty tacked on, but we might discuss that next episode too with Culture. I know I kind of ranted about it last episode, so I don't really want to revisit it quite yet. Then we'll look ahead towards phase two and, you know, what are some possibilities to happen for rosters and teams. Culture, do you have anything you want to say before we depart?
All I want to say is that, you know what? I called the coming of the Amaterasu solo era and it came to fruition. You asked what's the next innovation we might see. I think if he's allowed through, it won't be anything new, like a new god. I just think that it will be an innovation in how the Horus ultimate is used, how To the Skies is used. Right now, we haven't seen anything outstandingly spectacular in the use of the ultimate. I think it's going to get real crazy. Someone's going to get Horus and do something real fun. But that's all I have to say.
I think Horus is not going to be used for his ult ever. I think his ult is inherently not good because you have like Poseidon in the game and you just land and get blown up. But that's my thoughts. I think he's a very good character still. The 3 and the 2 are amazing, and we'll see some of that. I just can't wait to see the Awelix come out because we're seeing so much Horus. I mean, everybody forgot that Awelix exists last year, and then Awelix came out and everyone's like, oh fuck, and they all like just started losing, right? It was like, well, duh, like if you're playing four gods with a jump, why wouldn't I pick Awelix here? Man, that was a frustrating time to be like a coach analyst of the game, because you're just screaming, pick Awelix, pick Awelix once, and then they did and they win and they're like, oh yeah, this works, oh yeah. And oh my god, whatever. So
it's like that meme with a dude in the anime with the butterfly. It's like champions that have jumps. A Wheelish, is this good against jump champions or jump knots? Like,
yeah. All right. So that's it for us here at Around the Battleground. Big thanks to you, GC, for letting us put this on every week. Thanks for coming on, Culture. It's a pleasure, as always, to talk. Thanks to Smite, High-Res, Skillshot, Titan, Forge Games, whatever. You know, good stuff so far. We will see you next time around the Battleground. Goodbye, everybody. Stare.